Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. TJ Klein and Jacob Albrock here with you. And Jacob does not know how to unmute his microphone.
Unmute, everybody.
Jacob, try it again.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, if you're tired, there's a lot of reasons you might be. Chiefs Monday Night Football, although it was a quick moving game, but how about an 18 inning extravaganza in game three of the World Series? If you watch that game and are up with us right now, kudos. That's a commitment right there. I had to leave it. I couldn't stay up with it, but what a game. That series has been really good. The Chiefs get their win on Monday Night Football. We've got both of those things to talk about today. Voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, is going to be with us as well. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza with a sriracha cream sauce, cream cheese base, and topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown Pizza now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Good timing with a game of that magnitude. They will remember that one, I am sure, in Cooperstown in some way. But we can get into that. We'll get into the Chiefs a lot here this morning. Wyatt Thompson will join us in about 15 minutes. So we'll sort of take the bird's eye here in the opening segment and then dig in deeper as we make our way through the show. TJ joining from Kansas City, because you were at Monday Night Football last night. TJ, how are you this morning?
It's true. It was a late night in Chiefs Kingdom. Got out of there. It was actually a pretty quick game. It got over pretty quick, but got out of there late, talked to all the players, everything like that, did the reporter thing, and then turned all my stuff for the morning, and there was still baseball going on, but I had to make the business decision to go to bed.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. I definitely didn't think it'd be going until, I think my last buddy texted about 1:45, and he was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I woke up to see that text this morning, and I'm like, holy cow, what happened? And then I look it up. Just wild, wild stuff. Max Powers got the KFH hotline for you at 869-1240. We have lots of different ways you can get in touch with the program besides the good old-fashioned phone call. You can leave us video comments. Those are available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can tweet at us directly there on X. You can also watch us, and we appreciate you watching us on 12 News Connected here this morning and for listening to us on the Odyssey app, whenever that might be, because, of course, the show available in podcast form on demand anytime that is convenient for you. Let's get TJ right into the Chiefs in the interest of switching gears to some K-State talk next. That was an interesting game. It was an interesting first half. I think the second half went more like we thought the entire game would go, and the Chiefs kind of turned it on and dominated in the second half. But the first half was a cautionary tale of mistakes can get you, and they made some in the first half, and it was a close game at halftime. Yeah,
the first 15 minutes were some of the worst football put on the freaking display in the NFL. It was five possessions and five turnovers if you count the turnover on down. So awful start to the game. They eventually put stuff together. And then I think, like, as you said, it was a 21-0 run from the Chiefs. And that was the second half is what we expected the first half to look like. But I agree. I mean, there was a time where Mahomes threw a second pick and I looked over and I was like, the Chiefs are going to lose this game. Like, if they do this, they're going
to
lose this game.
Had a little Jacksonville feel to it there, huh?
Yeah. That's correct.
So I think the biggest issue, honestly, for them in the first half is, and this is something to watch and probably the big takeaway on the cautionary side, because there's a lot of positive takeaways, is that the offensive line was getting manhandled to start the game. And we knew that, you know, Simmons probably wasn't going to play. We learned as the week went on, it was likely. And then, of course, Trey Smith was ruled out. And the Chiefs struggled with a good pass rush, and it was a depleted pass rush for Washington, and they were still able to create just tons of pressure and issues for Mahomes early in the game. Now, Mahomes eventually started to move around the pocket a little bit, but it looked to me at least like the least comfortable he's been in the pocket all year long, which you would expect. I think that's why we saw some line movement. That thing was down to like 10 points, went 2.5 points down over the span of a day or two. I think that's why it's something to watch. I don't think any of the line concerns that presented themselves yesterday by injury are long-term issues, but they're not just going to be able to put anybody out there anytime, TJ, and have the sort of success they've had early in the year on the offensive line. And all you have to do is think back to last year to remember how much of a pain in the rear that can be for the offense.
Yeah, it was early on. I do feel like in the second half, though, as everything got better, I think that absolutely did get better as well. I mean, Mahomes, you know.
Mahomes adjusted, too. I mean, Mahomes was moving around a lot in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, he had time. I mean, I felt like he had time in the second half to float around and everything like that. And that's where we saw the, you know, 35-yard gain to Travis Kelce. And that's always what happens that we always talk about. And so, yeah, you know, Mike Caliendo last night talked about, you know, just what the week has been like and sliding up into that spot. And he said something along the lines of like, I'm fortunate that whenever I have to do this, I have Creed Humphrey to my left and Juwan Taylor to my right that makes my job easier. And so it still is, you know, I felt like it was still kind of a strength in the second half. I think that everything was just kind of going wrong in the first half. And so I think that, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, I'd say.
Yeah, I do think, and look, they look great in the second half, but I think we've got to pay like they need to be healthy on the line to make this thing hum or at least play well on the line, which they played much better in the second half. They did. I don't know what kind of adjustments they made. Credit to the Chiefs for doing it. But if they have the time, they are an unstoppable offense. I mean, we saw it over and over. You can keep them contained on first and second down, but there's just too – if Mahomes has time with all these options – you're not going to – the only way I'm convinced to disrupt the Chiefs is will be a pass rush. It will only be elite pass rushes. I think that's why the Jags gave them some fits. I think that's why we saw them for a half look a little shaky last night, because the only way to disrupt this thing is going to be a pass rush. And we saw, I think, a workload for the pass catchers that is probably – about how the Chiefs would like to draw it up, right? Pepper Rice the most. Kelce was just flat getting open. And if they're going to if teams are going to let him do that, then they're going to, I mean, Mahomes is going to throw to him a ton.
That's what my biggest takeaway was whenever the game was over, looking at the stats, is what we talked about yesterday about, you know, with Josh Briscoe about if Rashee Rice is back, like, are you going to have to make the adjustment and leave Kelce open? And it felt like that's what happened for a lot of the game.
which interestingly is not what has happened historically with Rice healthy. With Rice healthy historically, it has taken some away from Kelce. But last night, clearly Washington did something different, and Kelce was sort of the beneficiary, I think, of the attention to Rice. Worthy appears to be, TJ, a guy that will get a decent workload and every once in a while break one off, I think. I thought it was interesting to see Juju a little more involved. This was not a Hollywood Brown game, which was something, and that's not what we saw in the first one. But the bottom line is Mahomes throws to the open guy. So most often that's going to be Rice, and they obviously design the most stuff for Rice, and we know why, because he is highly talented. The other thing about last night that made it impossible for Washington to get it, they ran the ball. The Chiefs ran the ball like crazy. They carried the ball with the backs. Doesn't feel like it. The backs carried the ball 21 times. Like, this offense is not going to be stopped. I've been saying it for weeks. It's not. It was for a quarter. And then things got figured out. And a pass rush is the only way to do it. We'll have much, much, much more on the game. What a TJC from Boots on the Ground. We'll have that after a quick conversation with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. We'll talk about the Sunflower Showdown and moving forward to a huge showdown with Texas Tech. It's Sports Daily, everybody. Good morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are joined now by the voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, on a Tuesday morning. Glad to be with you here. Wyatt, are you recovered from the Sunflower Showdown?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was an amazing couple of days. Long trip to Columbia, or somewhat long. Late start. Short night. Wet Saturday, but a great Saturday. Really excited about the football game and how the guys performed after kind of getting behind the eight ball there early with a mistake on special teams to start the game. I was so excited about, the defense and how they executed the game plan, and the offense was pretty darn good too. It was really cool walking out of there with that kind of a win when you're, the underdog for the first time in forever. And trust me, happy locker room, happy group coming home.
Wyatt, I want you to use the term wet loosely, because you weren't shooting the game down on the field like we were, getting rained on up in your booth up top. We've talked about it. This feels like it's the best that they've played. Like, I mean, bar none, this looks like the best that K-State's played all year.
It's really been an interesting thing, to be honest, because after the Friday night loss at Arizona, where they played really quite poorly, actually, I think there was a, quote, circle of the wagons and getting back to their roots. Coach talked about that in that first off week, that they went back and kind of went into, quote, camp mode, because I think they felt like the camp prior to the Ireland trip wasn't probably, long enough or good enough. And I think since then they've been better, progressively better. They've not been perfect. We all know that. But I think we've seen Avery get better, the offensive line push and those types of things. And just I think with the offensive line, it's just kind of settling in. Devin Bass, since taking over the right guard spot, has allowed Andrew Langang to be settled in at right tackle. He's good at swinging and playing multiple positions. But you guys know, man, if you can get five guys in unison, it's better. And I think that's a good thing. Despite the loss of Toby Osunsami, I think the defense has continued to thrive and get better. I was so proud of Ryan Davis on Saturday and what he did, and several others for that matter. I thought he played his tail off in the game, and they did a really good job of really limiting Jalen. They for the most part did two things from my perspective. One, they were able to pressure and keep him in the pocket with a four-man front. And when they did need to blitz, I thought they disguised things really pretty well. I'm not a football expert. I don't mean to portray that in any way, shape, or form, but just kind of what I have gathered from talking with the coaches and the players, I think they gave a lot of looks that probably, frankly, had Jalen Daniels a little bit discombobulated, which is hard to do. The dude's a good player.
Yeah, it was as good a defensive performance as we've seen. I thought Avery Johnson, and it was odd, I was telling TJ this yesterday, I'm watching the game, and man, it just feels like Avery is carving them apart. And then I go back and I look at the box score, and I'm like, wait, he only threw it. How many times? He only completed 11 passes? Mm-hmm. That seemed weird to me, because I thought as a passer, it's as gifted as he's looked in college, just showing the raw skills that people have always been enamored with.
Well, Stan played quarterback, and you know that. He was raving at the end of the play and during the timeout on the throw that Avery made into the south end zone to John Tibbs and how perfect it was. I thought that the long throw to somewhat ice the game to make it 35-17 to Jace was also really well done. You know, you talk about the numbers, and I think you make a good point there. Jace Brown only had four catches, but for 160 yards.
Right.
You know, K-State was the team with the bigger plays. KU, a big play team, didn't have nearly as many as they normally have. I've been rewatching, you know, the game, and there was a point where it showed KU averaging over 400 yards a game, and at one point, I'm going to say late third, maybe early fourth, they had like 215 yards. So they did a really good job against them.
Yeah, Wyatt, obviously the Sunflower Showdown is always an emotional one. One thing that stuck out to me is, you know, K-State was open after the game that, you know, they were kind of PO'd that they were underdogs in this game. And every coach in the country wants to use that as fuel and everything like that. But as you said, it was an excited locker room, but this is a first feeling after a Sunflower Showdown in a long time.
Well, you guys know this. I've said this for a lot of years. This game is hugely important to the K-State fan base. The players know that. And I think they were surprised that they were an underdog and you know what? Maybe they shouldn't have been, but they were. And what I mean by that is when I first saw the line, and I'm not a big, you know, betting person by any stretch of the imagination, but when I saw that KU was favored, I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, you're over there. They've been a pretty darn good football team. But you know, I think K-State was motivated by that. I think they were motivated to continue the streak. And I think with the celebration, it shows you what the game means to them. I just felt like at the end of the day, they were really carved in, so to speak, and played one of their best football games, if not their best overall football game of the year. They probably need to clean up some things in the special teams from that game. I didn't think the punting was very good. You know, they had the fumble on the first return. But other than that, it was a pretty darn good day at the office.
It was as good as they've seen. And Maybe the crazy part why it is it's going to need to be even better if they want to win this week. And they have to win this week. The door is it's cracked open for K-State to still achieve its ultimate goals, which is wild to think about. But things can happen to get them there. None of it happens if they don't win every game the rest of the way. And Probably none of them will be more difficult than the one they face this week.
Well, we certainly would say that right now, right? This is a Texas Tech team that's 7-1. They've done a pretty darn good job surviving an injury to Baron Morton, their quarterback. He is expected to start this week. I guess that was revealed by Joey McGuire yesterday at his presser. Guys, when you watch them, they're very impressive defensively. Not that they aren't offensively, but that defensive front, they paid a lot of money for those guys. I'm not trying to make light of it necessarily. I'm just saying it is what it is. But when you look at David Bailey and Lee Hunter and Romello Height, the guys that are, you know, fully healthy right now, they've been, I'm just going to be honest with you, they've been dominant. They're giving up about 12 points a game. They keep those linebackers clean, and those two dudes, and in particular, Jacob Rodriguez, are so good. So are they perfect? No. Can K-State move the ball on them? I hope they can. I think they can. But the deal is I think they're going to have to find a way to run the ball and keep Avery clean. K-State doesn't give up many sacks. They didn't give up any in the KU game. But you know Tech pressures you, whether it's with a four-man front or, you know, blitz packages or whatever. So you're right. This is a major, major challenge for K-State.
Wyatt, I'm sure that people are, you know, pumping this through the building that you're going to work in just a little bit. But, you know, they're kind of back from the dead. And the Big 12 is about to reach the carnage stage. There's two undefeateds. And then after that, you know, it is carnage. So you have to beat Texas Tech first. If you don't do that, it's going to make it a lot harder. But, you know, are we delusional? You know, is it a possibility?
Well, I always think it's a possibility. I mean, as one example, did we all predict Cincinnati and Houston to be right here where they are today? Of course we did. No, we didn't. Right? No, we didn't. And that's what makes this league so intriguing in so many levels. Everybody knows that Arizona State was picked dead last year and won the league. Nobody saw this from Houston. Just wanted Arizona State, guys. Arizona State beat Tech in Tempe. So, and I don't know what if you guys paid much attention, but Utah destroyed Colorado, and they did so with a freshman quarterback. They're like us. They're getting better. So it's a long grind. We're just kind of now getting to the final month of the regular season. And I think you said it right, man, that we didn't think so a few weeks ago, but there's a lot to play for, I believe.
I absolutely think there is. I mean, I think it's an outside chance, but it's a chance. Like,
sure.
I mean, it's there. What else are you playing for, right? We got a little more update on Dylan Edwards yesterday. Wyatt, he will not play. Chris Kleiman mentioning that leg, I think he called it a lower extremity, is just not doing what it's supposed to do in the healing process. This is where college athletics annoy me, where you get, there's so much speculation about things.
Right.
Do you have any indication that this is anything more than an injury that's just not healing right? And then it comes into the question of, is redshirting Dylan even an option, or is it like, maybe let's see what happens in these next games and see what's out there. I would imagine Dylan wants to play football.
Here's a couple of things that I think I can say. One, Dylan's people have said that he's not in this to redshirt. He is. It's hurting him to not play. I believe that. And some don't. And I respect that, too. But this is a situation where he had the injury early on in Ireland. And then kind of another direct hit in the game in Waco, and he just hasn't been able to come back through that. They did, you know, some testing and found things they didn't like. And as Coach said during his press conference yesterday, we're not going to play him when he's not ready to play, and he's not ready to play. So there's a lot there. I get all of the speculation. He's a dynamic player. I'd love to have him. Everybody would. But not this week, unfortunately, because this would be, as we talked about, this would be a great, great Saturday to have him, right? This is going to be a real challenging football game for K-State.
No kidding. Same breath there. You know, we've talked about, you know, on the show on Tuesday and Monday mornings about how different this team looks whenever he's out there. You know, it feels like that they've just reestablished what they're trying to do, because they know that it's going to be a while till he gets back on the field. Joe Jackson has looked better, but, you know, as we said, he only threw it 17 times still, but they seemed like they threw the ball. Like, Avery was more of the pocket passer that, you know, people talked about earlier on in the year. Do you feel like they've shifted to a, you know, post-Edwards mode whenever they don't have him out there?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it. And again, I think with the improvements that you have seen, and if I'm being honest, a little bit of this has to do with health too. As an example, if you go back and pay attention and watch Jace Brown in the TCU game and then watch him from Saturday, I'm just going to be honest with you. It was pretty easy to tell that he wasn't at full go in the TCU game. It's just when he is right, he is a major league threat in this league and is for everybody from my perspective. That would be one example. I think Tibbs has continued to improve. Bradley didn't have necessarily a big game in any way at KU, but he was really good and it was great to have him back with the TCU win. So we said going into the year that they have a lot of weapons. The problem is we just haven't had them all on display together really at all. So you've had to kind of mix and match. And I visited with Joe Jackson at the presser on Monday, and he's a really neat young guy, and he's getting better. I think he's an example of what K-State is, because he will tell you he has been challenged. He is running with more physicality and purpose and toughness, and he's seen some results of that. So all good, at least for now.
Wyatt, we are going to switch gears to basketball. One more game that doesn't count Friday, then it starts counting 1 week from today.
Yeah.
But tell us what we learned at Missouri there. It was a lot of points. What do we make of it? What do we ever make of games like this? What did we learn?
Well, what I would tell you, and this is probably following along a little bit of what Coach Tang said, but you could tell that they've worked a whole lot in the preseason on offense. That was problematic a year ago. They want to be better there. They scored 91 points. They did a lot of good things. They scored in the paint. They hit some threes, got to the foul line, only turned it over 10 times. So if you start from the positivity side, you got 20-plus points from your star, what have you. Nate Johnson really hardly played any good basketball at all in the first half. And in terms of, I guess maybe I should clarify that, he just was not aggressive in the first half. And in the second half, right out of the gate, he was. There are guys on this team that didn't shoot the ball very well, like Abdi Bashir, who I think will as time goes on. But you do, on the downside, you do have to be concerned about the paint points for Missouri, guarding the dribble drive, those types of things. They got to – Missouri was really good a year ago, top 10 in the country at getting to the foul line, and they did that the other night. But I think Coach said it in the postgame show with us that those types of things are coachable and teachable, and we can get better there. But I think he saw what he wanted to see in terms of some of the guys playing together. I think you'll continue to see that on Friday night and into the first few games of the season for sure. I think they kind of have a pretty good feel of who their top seven or eight guys are, and that's kind of what you want to do. But still molding them together will be, you know, forefront, I guess, here for the next probably month or a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to catch it, you know, since you guys played at midnight on Friday night. But you said they know the top seven. I think everybody in the country knows who the top one is in PJ Haggerty. Everybody talked about that at Big 12 Media Days. Was he as advertised? And my mind immediately goes to all the point guards that Jerome Tang has had since he's been at K-State. You know, Marquise, Tyler Perry, those guys, you know, does he fit the bill?
Well, he's just a scorer. I think that's what I noticed. And I'd seen him before. You know, he played in the American, and I saw him, I think, one time against Wichita State and a time or two against other teams. He just scores in such a variety of ways. And I hate to say that it looks easy for him, but he does at times make it look pretty simple. He's got a really good, quick, solid release. He can hit a variety of shots, and I think that was on display. I think he was 8 of 14, if memory serves me correctly, or something in that vicinity. There's not much to not like. He's a really neat kid. I think he's really, really gifted, probably a next-level player, so you just got to keep him going and get everybody else, you know, kind of on the same page with him, and I think that's the challenge now, like I mentioned with Nate and Abdi, and there are others. I mean, Andre Kostic is very young but very skilled. Elias Rupiak is a kid that I think there's much more in the tank there. One guy I want to see them get going is David Castillo, because he could play a really big role as a backup point guard. He has not shot the ball, I think, like he is capable of since he's been at K-State. I hope they can get him kind of turned. We didn't see Marcus Johnson in the game. I think we will on Friday night. So they're still, you know, kind of looking at some things and trying to get better.
It'll be going again. One more against Newman on Friday, and then it's real next week.
Yeah,
holy smokes!
Yeah, I'm excited for the league, aren't you guys? I mean, it's just crazy to look at it. Six teams ranked in the top 25, and most of them are in the upper two-thirds of that. And I don't even want to start naming them, because you're going to leave one darn good team out. So
it's going to be rapid on the league's going to be crazy. Kansas is picked fifth. If that tells you anything, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's exciting. Great brand of basketball too, man. No doubt about that.
I heard Brett Yormark during the Sunflower Showdown come up into the booth and say it is the second best league in the world behind the NBA.
How about that?
I don't disagree with him.
well, they're chock full of stars. I mean, you every year. If you're adding, you know, the Dabanza kid or the kid at KU. I mean, really, those guys they could be 1 and 2 in the draft.
They probably will be.
Yeah.
It
tells you everything you need to know. And then the coaches in the league too. It's so impressive.
Yep. I love it. We can't wait for it. This time next week, we'll be talking about it. Wyatt Thompson, everybody, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Go down to Lubbock and give it a shot.
You got it. Let's see what we can do. Thanks, fellas. Good to be on with you.
All right. I said, go down to Lubbock and take care of Tech. I'm not sure why I said that, but of course that game's in Manhattan. It's one of those that you say it and you're like, that's not right.
A lot of tortilla talk has been clouding our minds.
Yeah, I guess so. That game is in Manhattan, and K-State's going to need to play probably their best game of the year.
Touchdown underdogs.
Touchdown and a half is where I'm seeing it. But either way, it's it probably should be more than that, to be quite frank, if Morton is confirmed healthy, you know. But K-State looked really good against KU, so we'll see. We'll see how they handle it. See if they can step up at home and just have their best game of the year. That's what it'll take. Yep. All right, let's talk Chiefs. We had a very abbreviated look at the game last night. So it's a game that you start watching it. We're all wondering too. We see the line kind of going toward Washington. Thoughts of Jacksonville on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago creep into our heads a little bit. And then we see the game open up and it's like, okay, what's happening here? Mahomes interception. Good play by the defender. All right, fine. Tip your hat. Then the Kelce interception happens and you're like, oh crap. Here we go again.
Yeah, the first one, as you said, I mean, it was a tough throw. He threw it kind of behind him a little bit, trying to back shoulder. It was a good play. It was a tough throw to make. In the second one, you know, that was just the classic, just right off the hands, right to the defender that we've seen all the bad luck happen before and everything like that. And so I was sitting next to Noah from Cake next to me in the press box. I'm like, they're not winning this game. There's no way. Like it everything seemed like it was too good. It's the most Chiefs thing in the world. Like this is going to be sweated out, end up losing. It's going to be all hell break loose about, well, there goes the division. They're not going to be able to catch the Broncos now. Oh my gosh. And then something changed and then they look like the Chiefs again.
Yeah. I mean, all that needed to change was they figured out a way to slow down that pass rush and Mahomes found his groove and Kelce recovered nicely, of course, which was good to see as he's, you know, he's clearly older, you know, maybe not quite as it to me, it's looked like his reflexes are just a split second behind where they used to be. And they're still adjusting to that. And they're doing a good job of adjusting to that. He has been he's been really good still at getting open and doing those things that they need him to do so badly. But you know, Washington decided to play a certain way and it let it be a Kelce game and they took advantage of it. And I do think that's good to see. But here's the thing that stands out more than anything else to me in that game, in the games, in whatever we're looking at for the Chiefs, is how well the defense continues to play for Kansas City. Just 260 yards allowed in the game. 260 yards allowed. Now, Washington's not some juggernaut offense, especially with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, but Marcus Mariota has played games this year and been pretty good, and they got all of their weapons back. That was, you know, that was as much a full strength Washington offense minus Jaden Daniels, which is a big deal, but they had all these players back, and the Chiefs defense yet again comes up, holds them to 7 points. They've allowed 7 points now in the last 2 weeks. And yes, the opponent matters, but this defense continues to be a strength of this team. Not just, you know, not just good or whatever. Like this is a real strength. And in a game where they start slow and do that, I think we can sit back and say the defense has got their back here because the offense is going to be good most of the time this year when it's this healthy. And if the defense is also that good, they're going to be hard to beat, even when they play poorly like they did in the first half.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think that, you know, any Chiefs fans thought that Marcus Mariota was going to come in and beat you, but he played well for the first little bit of that game.
He's been good this year when he's played.
Yeah, but I agree. The Chiefs defense is, that's what I kind of brought up earlier in the year whenever we were talking about, you know, what the difference is between last year and this year. And, you know, I kept saying that, you know, Chiefs defense isn't as good, but Chiefs defense still might be a top 12, top 10 defense in the NFL, and that's probably still true to this day. And so, yeah, I mean, it feels like a buzzsaw. You know, the joke that we've been making is, you know, which of these wins can you actually count as wins whenever everybody's got one of their stars hurt? And so you're going to learn on Sunday.
Yeah, we will. We will learn. And it's – look, the Bills have had their problems too. And most people that look at the Bills, they've said it's like a physical problem. Like they're, you know, they're not quite as physical as they need to be. And the Chiefs can maybe take advantage of that. I mean, you know, if Marcus Mariota has the kind of success he did, okay, Josh Allen's probably going to find at least that or maybe a little bit more. It does feel like a game the Chiefs offense will need to help out the defense. I think you always feel that way when you're playing Josh Allen. But I don't have really any concerns, TJ, about the offense right now. The line was a concern for a minute last night, but I think Trey Smith will be back quickly. And if Josh Simmons can find a way to get back for this game, that would be fortuitous. But if the line is good, this offense is going to score a ton of points on everybody. Doesn't matter who they're playing. It's going to be on everybody. And I just like the defense is holding up. And it's not just they're holding up. They are a good defense again this year. And it backs up for me the fact that I think the Chiefs are the best team in football right now.
Yeah, the one question that I think that, you know, you could bring up about the offense is, you know, what the run game is going to be and, you know, what it could look like going on the road in the playoffs if that had to happen or going on the road late in the year. You know, I just looked it up. The low in Buffalo on Sunday is 38 degrees with a chance of precipitation. So are we going to see Mahomes, you know, throw it 40 times? Are we going to see running backs carry it 30
times? Give me that forecast again.
30, it's probably gonna be like 40 degrees and like a 20% chance of rain.
That's probably fine. How much different was that than last night? If it's not raining, what was the temperature last night?
Low 50s? It was like, yeah.
I think they'll be okay as long as there's not wind. I mean, it's always about the wind. Kansas City has such a quick strike pass offense. Did they take any shots last night? I don't think they did.
I don't remember any.
I don't think they went over the top even one time, which is still in their bag of tricks. Don't forget, they have three guys that at any point can go streaking. Shout out to old school. But Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Tyquan Thornton can try it at any point. So they didn't last night because they didn't really need to, and they had a clear design on what they were doing. But I unless there's wind, when their quick strike offense goes like that, it's not weatherproof, but it is better in the weather than maybe some of the old Chiefs offenses might have been. Everything is condensed and it's run after the catch. It's get open. I thought that last night, every pass seemed to be carrying a receiver in a direction, right? There weren't very many stopping routes. Like everything was moving, every screen, everything. It looked when he'd let it go, it's like, oh, Mahomes just made a bad pass, but then he didn't because it was a guy 100% in motion. They are so much like a run after the catch offense. Like that is their thing now. Like that is what they're doing. Everything is carrying the receiver in a certain direction. It's confusing. It's confusing to watch it. I can't imagine trying to defend it, especially when they have the time. Yep. And so if they have the time, they're going to, it's not unstoppable is not the right word, but it's as close as you can get to shutting a team down over a game as we ever get in the NFL. They're going to be hard to keep under 21 points.
Yeah. It arises the question, you know, how do you beat the Bills? How do you think that they can beat the Bills? Do they outscore the Bills or you try to keep the Bills low scoring? I just looked the last, the two games the Bills have lost this year and that, and their span there, that they got turned over twice by the Falcons and three times by the Patriots. You know, do you need your defense to do that, to slow this team down, or you try to win in a shootout?
You never want to think it's going to be a shootout because that means your defense is getting dominated. But we know how these Bills games go. It probably will be. But I think right now, if I'm the Chiefs, I trust my offense to do whatever it is that it needs to do. Other than the other team getting a great pass rush, which the Chiefs have, when healthy, shown us that they've sort of neutralized, right, with their offensive line changes this season. What's the way you stop their offense?
The Chiefs offense?
Yeah. What else there is.
Like you just have to, that's the thing is that the layman's term answer is take away the pass and make them run it. But they're receivers.
But they're running it.
They are, but it's not as effective as the pass game, is what I'm saying.
No, and that's fine. But like if somebody sold out and consistently you know, only rushed three dudes and dropped everybody else into coverage. They could run the ball if they needed to. That'll never happen. But, it, I mean, that, you know, they can at least – Washington's defense isn't very good. Let's get that out of the way. Like, they're not good. They have been as bad as there is in football this year. So I also don't want to look at that game and say, oh, look, the Chiefs are going to be able to run it, you know, at 5 yards a carry or whatever it was last night. I think that's not going to happen either in most games. Certainly not against Buffalo. But it's still like you've got to respect it. Is Isaiah Pacheco okay? He took a pretty good shot there at the end of the game. Did that get brought up after the game at all? He looked like he was okay. The broadcast crew seemed more concerned about it than Isaiah Pacheco did. But was there anything there? Because he did take a shot to the knee.
Nobody talked about it. He was in the locker room. We didn't get to talk to him, but he looked good in the locker room whenever he was walking around.
I'm sure he's okay. It was a little bit of a scary moment, but I also thought that was as good as Kareem Hunt, who's playing hurt, looked this year. And then, of course, Mahomes is always a threat with his legs. He only needed to do that four times last night. What a game. It was a weird game to begin with, and then it was just cruise control in the second half for the second straight week for Kansas City. Especially in the fourth quarter.
I could not believe the start to that game. That was the peak.
You could believe it. It happens all the time. Like it happens all the time.
Straight turnovers.
Yeah. The Chiefs do this, right? Like we know how good they are. And then they do this. Like it shouldn't surprise you.
No, it's not that. It's the fact, but the two teams turned the ball over five times in a row. There wasn't a single punt or point for 17 minutes of the game.
Unders again. So here's what's like from a betting perspective, because the offense is so good for Kansas City. It was this way the first year the defense really took off, which the offense was still good that year. The first post Tyreek year, like unders felt like they were always the play. And now with this defense playing this well again, it kind of feels like the Chiefs have become an under team because the opposition has a hard time. I don't know that I would advise that this week against the Bills.
We got robbed on Mahomes' first touchdown, by the way.
We got to talk about that on the other side. We do. I did hedge it with Hunt because he was at 15-1, oddly. But we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side. Keep it here. We got another hour of Sports Daily coming your way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to?
Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In the UEFA Champions League, every moment is a story.
Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League.
And every great story needs an audience. Feel every match.
Mbappe in the middle.
Every goal.
Oh, would you believe this?
From the best clubs.
Real Madrid strike.
And the biggest stars.
Bukayo Saka scores.
This is the world's best soccer.
Momentous and iconic.
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount+.